Hi Shubhangi, thank you so much for taking the time. I wanted to start off with, how's the M2, like the laptop?
Yeah, it's good. It's going good so far. It's faster because I used a Windows laptop before this. So there are a lot of changes and this getting, you know, equipped with that, all of those changes. But it's very good since I had an iPad. So now I have the complete ecosystem. So the processes have become like much smoother than before for me, transferring data and, you know, operating on dual screens.
Are you talking to me on the new M2 or are you using the older one?
Yeah, I'm talking to you on the new M2.
Okay. Also, while we are on the M2, did you upgrade to iOS 16?
No, not right now. I'll do it today. It came out yesterday night only, so I'll be doing it tonight probably.
Okay. I upgraded. Nothing special, I think. I don't know. Anyways.
We can edit the messages. That's one thing that I like. Like recently sent messages.
Right. Yeah, we can edit the messages. Yeah, but I was more into about the home screen, like the photos and all that. But it's not very, like, I don't know. I have customized my home screen now, but I was expecting something more, I think. So I was a little disappointed with the update. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah. Anyways. What did you want to be when you, like, while you were growing up, I'm sure you didn't imagine yourself being a brand, like, you know, personal brand strategist, or I'm sure that was not in the picture. So was there, what was it for you? Like,
it was never like being a strategist or any of the social media thing going on. I wanted to become somebody who gets paid to speak, because speaking was something I really liked since I was a kid. So I took part in a lot of debate competitions, a lot of speeches in my school back then. So I really enjoyed speaking. I enjoyed writing too. So I never thought this could be a career path for me. So I was preparing for CAT before jumping into this like full time, because I understood that this will give me a lot of exposure rather than directly jumping to master's after college. So after my undergrad, so I decided to, you know, move around with this. But I did not have a complete idea what I want to become in life. But I was certain about few things that I enjoyed in school. So writing, speaking, talking were, you know, things that I enjoyed.
Like public speaking, I mean, difficult to make a career out of it. No, like, I don't think public speaking per se is a career. No, what do you say?
Yeah, it is a huge career. It is like a huge career. People get paid to give all those corporate talks. You can easily make a life out of, you know, corporate training, public speaking and things like that, if you have a good personal brand. So it can never happen from the start. You have to get some experience. You have to know what you're talking about. So you need some base. That is why I never thought about doing it right after school, because once you do something, then only you can go around and talk about it. So speaking as a skill has, you know, less authority, I feel. So once you have something backed up, some results, people find you more credible. Earlier, it was the number of years of experience on your resume. Now it is not based on that. Now it is on the skills and the results that you've produced. So that's a good change.
Right. I just want to make a point, but this is complete, digression from what you're talking about. I've also, now that you mentioned about, you know, you have to do something and only then people will take you, you'll be more credible to give speeches. When you said that, I remember Hillary Clinton, like, you know, and, you know, she used to go around giving speeches to Goldman Sachs, which essentially killed her political career, you know, I mean, I think it goes both ways. You know, you can make your career as well, but also you can, you know, maybe in politics, maybe this is like true. It can kill your career as well. But no, yeah, sorry for that.
I don't know. I get the idea where you're coming from. I feel it is also about how you say what you say, and you know what's the situation and in which you are at that point. For me, the thing that I was talking right here was about more of corporate talks and you know, mindset sort of. So I never knew there was a coaching thing that happens. You can coach people around all of these things. These are all Western things that are coming to India, like and are growing here, like a digital entrepreneurship is something very much in trend. So these things have made it easier and possible. Like webinars are what? They're just those you know, public speaking sessions that now happen on the internet. So this has become like very mainstream now. Earlier it was not the case. You had to be a very big figure to get to a place where, you know, people would listen to you. Some credibility, some years of experience. Now need results.
No, I was just asking, like, so do you at this point go, I mean, do you give speeches as well, or?
Yeah, I have conducted a few webinars in a few colleges and a few NGOs around, you know, social media, my forte. What I know, I tell them how you can leverage the power of social media. So again, I have something to talk about, something substantial that I have done and has changed my life. So earlier people thought, how can a kid 22, 23 years old have so much of experience that they can transform their life? But due to all of the startup culture and this digital entrepreneurship, kids are changing their life every now and then. So that's where they have got an idea where they can put out their experience. It should not be preachy. It should be very, you know, based on data and things like that.
Right, understood. Would you like read a lot? Did you have the habit of reading while growing up as well? Or is that something recent?
Habit of reading started after school, actually, in 2019. And it started like because I had a lot of free time. So I never read back in school. But once I started to read, I don't like reading fiction. I only read non-fiction. I don't know why I can't read fiction unless and until it is a very good book. Like I read The Kite Runner. But I read like very less fictional books. I read non-fiction mostly. So yeah, it started 2-3 years back. Nothing very prominent. I was reading, you know, the no profound connecting the dots only thing. I started reading very late in my life.
What prompted the move though? Like why 2019?
I had a lot of time. I was not happy with the life that I was reading at that point. So reading was like an escape, and I thought maybe I would find some answers in these books. People talk about these, like it changes your life and things like that. So I still remember, I don't remember the name of the book. It was a very not so popular book I got from the railway station in my city. I was coming back from somewhere, so I got that book and I read it. It was something on mindset. So yeah, that's how it started. Once I read it, I thought, okay, at least this gives me the positivity for the time being. So that's how it started.
Understood. Okay. What did you do your UG and like undergraduation in?
I did a BBA, that is Bachelor's in Business Administration, from Gwalior itself.
Right. And you were hoping to, like, after finishing college, you were hoping to do an MBA, is it? Or did you plan to, like,
get
a normal job? Or?
No, never. I never planned to get a normal job because my college was not good at all. It was like, there were no placements only in the college. So it happened because of a lack of decision making after school from my end. So I knew I'll not get a good job out of here, the job that my skill sets, you know, I deserve on my skill sets. So I decided to go for an MBA. I did very well in the coaching and everything. But soon I realized, after diving deep into the whole profiling thing, how they take you, how they select you, WorkEx is important. I realized, why not take 2-3 years for WorkEx? At the same time, I came across a course that guaranteed in 6 months, if you learn these skills, you'll be able to make more than what a normal graduate makes. So, and it was like a, it was like a foolproof course. Like I went through all the details. I searched people who've taken the course and they were making good money. So I thought, okay, temporarily, let's do something that we're interested in. And I was always interested in the social media side of things, digital marketing. So by then I had done 2-3 courses. So I realized I left the CATCA preparation. I enrolled for that course. It was for something around 50,000 rupees. And I asked my father to, you know, I want to do this. And I was dicey. They were also dicey because I had already enrolled in CAT coaching before that. And I was not giving the exam. And neither I was attending the NT classes. So I asked him. He said, all right, I'm doing this. But this is your opportunity. Otherwise, you'll have to give CAT next year. So I said, okay. I took that course. And within 6 to 8 months, I was making some money out of it. Although the skills they taught in that course, I did not use them to leverage anything, but I got the mindset, the amount of money people are making in this digital marketing side of things. So I got an understanding of the industry. I met some good people. Then I came across content marketing. I loved content marketing, so I deep dived into this. So yeah.
What course is that?
I did a marketing accelerator academy course by Rupa Mittal, which gave me the initial mindset and the understanding of how these things work, because it was the first academy, proper academy that I joined. So yeah, now she has stopped offering this, I guess. She has begun to offer more, prominent freelancers, 6-figure, 7-figure freelancers, like counseling sessions. But at that point, this was a very famous course. Like people were making a lakh out of in 6 to 8 months by learning in-demand skills like Facebook advertising, funnel making, and things like that. By getting international clients, of course. I did not do any of those things. I transformed into content marketing instead, which I love. So yeah, that's how it began.
So initially you wanted to do MBA, but and you did take coaching for it, but then you stumbled upon this course and then you decided to do this course.
And yeah, I never wanted to do an MBA. Like it was never okay, I want to do an MBA. It was always like, okay, now I don't have anything. And MBA may they see what skills you have. Like now I've worked for a year plus, like full time. So I know what are these terms that they're using. So while building a business, you get an understanding of a lot of things that, they teach in an MBA. You get a lot of exposure, real ground level experience. So that definitely helps in, getting you to a good college. At that point, I said, okay, I'll do an MBA, but later. Now, right now, if you ask me, I don't have any plans, but might be I do an MBA, when I'm 25, 26.
Understood. How important do you think like a college education is in general for a person?
For me, since I was not in a very competitive environment, my college was a government college in Bordeaux. I got nothing. I was in a very good school. Then I got into that college. So it was quite shattering for me. So I don't actually know what importance it has, because everything that I've done till now is I've done it on my own, like searching for things. And, you can call it luck. I came across the right resources, right people at the right time. But I feel if you are following what a degree is teaching and if you want to make a career out of it, you might, be at a very great place. But if you're doing it for the sake of a degree, then, there's no use. For example, if I did not do an MBA right after my undergrad, because I knew I might do later in the niche that I'm interested in. Maybe they bring up some course in content marketing. Maybe they bring up some good courses in digital marketing. Might be I go out to study. So if it is aligned to what you want to do in life, it definitely helps. But if it is completely misaligned, it would not help. But still, I would suggest people to at least complete their undergraduation, because there's no harm in that. Don't go for higher studies if it doesn't align, but at least complete your graduation. You will have that safety net, because in India, still to be employed in the conventional way, you need a degree. People look at your degrees.
Right. Another vague kind of question, which is like how do you like think about money? Like you mentioned you know, when you took up that course or when you were looking at that course, you saw that, you know, there were people who after like 6 months were, you know, churning out more than 1L or something like that. So how do you kind of think about money and how important? Obviously it's important, at least I'm hoping it's important, but like how, like on the value scale, like how do you kind of approach it and how do you think about it?
Yeah, so my father always told me this one thing: it is very foolish to talk ill about something you haven't experienced. So if unless you have a lot of money, you cannot say it's bad to have a lot of money. So of course it is important on the survival level, but my outlook on this is very clear. Once you have enough money in your pocket, then only you can to survive and to sustain yourself, then only you can think about doing big things. Otherwise, you'll always come back to the small problems and you'll try to solve them. So it's always good to first have a sustainable path to at least survive and then expand. Like if you talk to me a year back, I was a person who just wanted to hit some income milestones. Now I am a person who has a complete perspective shift since I'm building a business. So now my focus is to scale it. Money for me as an individual is not important. I want to pay my employees. I want to, get everything in place as far as my company is considered. So that's how your approach changes. So once I've done it, I have experienced it. Now I've built a security net for myself. My outlook shifted, but it was never same from day one. Initially, it was of course I want to try it out and see if this skill makes me money and things like that. So yeah, it's very simple. First of all, you should think how are you going to survive. After you're past that, you can think about all the creative things and all the things that you wanted to do. For me, I never wanted to do business. I never was a business mindset person. I was always an employee mindset person. But things changed, so did my mindset. Like it has evolved from what it was a year back.
What do you think? I mean, did the mindset change first, or did the things or situation change first?
Mindset change after the situations, because once you start making an amount that is important for you. So I was very clear ki itta I needed to survive and to live like a good life. So once I started to hit that, I had a perspective shift. Now I'm doing it. This was all I ever wanted to do. Now I can shift my perspective to bigger things. So that's something that changed it. Because if I would say ki on day one ki money doesn't matter, it's not like that. It does at the end of the day. You are not only responsible for yourself but other people in your life. And once your parents sort of see ki this person can survive on their own in terms of their financial requirements, they don't question you anymore. So that's also a thing that I noticed.
I want to read. We'll jump around a little bit, I think. We'll keep jumping around, but I want to read from. I want to read a tweet, I think, or I forget if this is a tweet or if it's a LinkedIn post, but it's one of them. So it goes like, and I'm quoting you here. September 2021, and there are four bullet points: a lost graduate trying to become a creator, binge watching Netflix to escape. No financial backup. And then the post continues, which is September 2022, and then there are four more bullet points where you're talking about the success. I have clipped that post, but so I don't know what the other success bullet points are, but so in September, like, I mean, what was there, like a pivotal moment where, you know, you just got tired of the shit and you just decided you wanted to do something, or can you walk us through the mindset of like September 2021?
Yeah, sure. So I'll tell you something. Like it never happens in the way they show in the Bollywood movies. It is always very slow, gradual. It's not exponential always. So for me, in September 2021, I had a few plans, but they went, Like, I lost those clients because of not a good, you know, I was not in a good mental frame at that point.
No,
Then I
I'm
met
really
a few people.
Really sorry to interrupt, but so I just want to, so one thing I'm confused about is, so this is before the People Company, right? The thing that you started?
Yeah.
Okay, so before this, you were just doing freelancing for a few people, is it? Like the companies that you're talking about?
Yeah, for one or two people, I was waiting. I thought I was not good enough to test my skills out in the market. So one of my friends told me, your leverage is content. Before this, I was trying to learn the skills in that course, which were given, which were very technical. I was never interested in those skills. So I did not see a market for these skills until then. So one of my friends told I started to market these skills. So nothing, like if I say I woke up at 5 a.m., that's not true. I just focused on my strengths for like 6-8 months. I said, Shubhangi, it's enough of, you know, bringing yourself down. Just focus on what good you can do. So when I focused on what good I can do, things started to move. And once you get results, once you see that, you know, the things working out, the clients coming in, they trusting you with your services, you doing good. I had a very good retainer rate. 90% of the clients that I worked with retained with me for a longer period. So in that moment, I understood, I knew it is all in life, all the people who are successful are not always the best. They don't always have the greatest work-life balance. They work on their leverage points and, you know, make it happen. So for me, now the journey, now the whole process goes like sprint, rest, then again sprint, then again rest. Because I'm a person who needs something new. I cannot live every day in the same way. Of course, health is important, but then also it will take 10-20% of your day, all the other things. Rest 80% has to be on you. So for me, the outlook changed. Instead of focusing on what perfect I can do, I started to focus on, you know, how I can get better every single day, like 1% better, putting out the processes, laying out the contracts, doing everything. So that 1% shift really helped. Then I met my co-founder. So he also helped in, you know, scaling all of this. When things started to fall in place, I had time and mental energy to look at other aspects of my life, improve slowly, gradually. So the process is not something profound. There's no very great shift that happened in that moment. Everything was very slow, very gradual. Today, when I look back, it looks like, okay, there's a huge change that came along in this year. But every day was like, okay, this is again a shitty day. And, you know, there were good days, there were bad days. So nothing profound, nothing like, aaj aisa realize when pulse enlighten over. That is a wrong story. That doesn't happen. Of course, a year can change your life, but nothing changes in a day except how you look at it.
Understood. Again, so jumping around a little bit. So a little bit confusion in my end as well. So I want to clear some of that. So just on LinkedIn for a second. So once you, you know, took up that course of marketing and you decided you wanted to do marketing, I'm just curious about my impression is that you're currently mostly focused on LinkedIn and you're getting your, I mean, the marketing that you do or the kind of work that you share, it's via LinkedIn. So I'm just curious if that is, so like, why did you like kind of narrow down on LinkedIn in the sense that, again, correct me, stop me if I'm wrong. Like if somebody's freelancing or if they generally go to like freelancing websites, no, or, you know, Upwork or Fiverr or whatever. So did you consider those as well, or were they not something you were interested in, or the kind of work that you're doing, those websites are not like the best? So one is that aspect, but also why did you kind of narrow down on LinkedIn per se?
Yeah, okay. So I went to Fiverr and Upwork, but none of those worked for me because I knew there's so much of saturation. So LinkedIn happened passively. I was creating an audience, and once I reached 10K, before like 10K also, I used to get these people all coming in my DM. So till date, I haven't, this is a bad thing, I should not glorify this, but till date, all my clients have come to me to, you know, ask for services. I haven't started my outreach yet. So all my clients, I have optimized my profile in a way that they come and reach out to me, okay? So LinkedIn is better because you're connecting directly to the person who's looking for the service or their team. But on Fiverr or Upwork, they are the mediator, so it gets difficult to, you know, work on projects that run for months. So that way, LinkedIn was always a better option. I also get clients from Twitter, but mainly I'm active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn, you're connecting directly with the company, with the team, so it becomes easier.
Understood, understood. How did the people company, like, when did you decide? So the people company is just like a morph. I mean, is it like you were getting a lot of work and then you just decided to hire a bunch of people and then just create a company out of it? Or was that a more thought through process?
So after working for a few months as a freelancer, I knew that this is something which is not sustainable, because there are a lot of things. A lot of people do it, I know, but then there's no growth. After a point, as a freelancer also, you can distribute work. As a freelancer also, you can hire people who can work for you. But one thing which is different in an agency setup is that you are more credible. Like, you can grow it to any level that you want to. You can scale it well. So for me, the one point of where I decided ki I will give this a shot was when I met the right person who was good for the partnership. So that's when the idea, you know, came across, and I knew this is something which I can do for a very long period of time. If I build something which is very impactful, very meaningful. So that's where the idea came, and we started to work on that.
Right. So again, stop me if I'm wrong. So so the agency, it provides a lot of content marketing and digital marketing stuff, is it, like, or is there other things that you guys specialize in?
No, we are primarily a personal branding agency. We provide personal branding services across all social media channels like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and you know, what else did I miss? Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Yes.
Instagram,
and also YouTube. And also YouTube, because personal brands are also there on YouTube. So we cover all of these five platforms, from ideating, from bringing across the content, from editors, to everything we provide our clients. So we package it for them. Since all the busy founders don't have that much of time, all the coaches don't have that much of time, so we provide them these services, put out the best strategy, help them grow their audience.
Understood, understood. So I want to go back to some of your tweets, and since we are talking about, you know, you starting the company and all that. So I think this is your tweet. It goes like, want to lose friends? Start taking your... No, sorry. That's another tweet. But wait, this is the tweet. Yeah. So the older I get, the more I realize losing friends is part of building a startup. But also, I think I want to go back to the previous tweet as well, where you say, want to lose friends? Start taking your life seriously. So these are two tweets that I kind of screenshot just wanted to understand, like, was that like more
functional? I was playing with the keywords. There's nothing like that. I feel this or anything. But since, you know, a few of my tweets worked, if you go down, you'll see a few of my tweets worked. Three tweets went to 1K plus likes. So I was testing out the keywords. If you want to read the real content, you can go back to a few months before content that is, you know, very candid. So on Twitter, keywords work. So you have to write according to the keywords. So let's say if 95% is a keyword, so I was just testing out keywords and you know, putting it out in that way. If you look at these pages which have a huge, massive following, they're repeating the same shit again and again in different words. So that is how you get good following on Twitter. You get good engagement, you get good people reading. Either you write a thread, which is very much in trend, somebody who people search or somebody who people are curious about, or you write a tweet which is shit posting, basically something that people resonate with, or you write something like this which is either very triggering, inspiring, motivating. So that's it. There's no explanation to this.
Right. Well, no, but this one was not very motivating. I mean, what is that? Starting.
It's very triggering, no? It's very triggering.
It's triggering, yeah, a little bit. I was like, yeah. I was like, what's up with
Shubhangi?
So
exactly.
is there...
This is the life of a social media person. You have to try everything out before you have a foolproof thing. Because three of my tweets, one went to 2,200 likes, second went to 1,800 likes, then the third one went to 1,200 likes. So I am trying to understand how the algorithm works now. So that's all I have to do on the platform, right?
Did you figure it? Are you able to figure it out now?
Yeah, keywords work. You have to fix the timing, but not completely. I'm still trying unless I get frequently viral tweets. I can't say about it. Yeah, but they say people have a lot of engagement groups. They use they share their tweets so people engage. So yeah, this might happen. I don't know. Not very clear on that.
Understood. So one more thing, and now that you mentioned, you keep, I don't know how valid this is, but because you mentioned, you keep playing around with keywords or, experimenting with posts or whatever. But I did notice that most of your, I noticed, I don't know if this is fair, but I felt like most of your stuff was like inspirational and, advice type, do this, don't do that. Not only per se with personal branding per se, but also like, generally like, how to lead a good life per se. So is that like, were you playing around with keywords then, or are you generally also more like concerned about, what's the best way to live and all that? Like,
can you quote any of that? Like, from where did you pick how's the best way to live?
One second, I'm not able to quote you directly. I'm on your way. Like, maturity is when you realize you don't need more time, you need more focus. And
this is true.
And a year from now, what? Yeah, so like stuff like this, no one cares about your hard work until they see results, and all of this stuff, like inspirational quote stuff.
If you meet me, I'm not this person. This is fine testing out the algorithm for the time being. So yeah, that's it. I am trying out different formats, different templates for my tweets, because I have tweeted from last year May, and I have written like quality tweets. If you go back to that time, I think you should do your research and go back to scroll even further to get an idea, because you can't skim only the top tweets and understand what I think, how I think. So I feel that it is right now that I'm testing the algorithm on both the platforms. So yeah, that's it. That's all I can add. Because for me, I grew like 400 followers in a span of... Can you hear me?
Hello? I lost you there for a second, actually.
Yeah. So I grew like 400 followers in a span of 3 days or so. So I'm testing out, I'm doing my job. This is not something if you meet me as a person, I would like advising you would be the last thing I would do. So yeah, I'm not like the person like who's very preachy in general, but this is what works. This happened with me. This is how I evolved. This is what I did. So this is working on social media, because they don't know you. They know your story and how you sell it.
Understood. This final thing on the post, which I also made a note of, which is I also did notice, and stop me if I'm wrong, which is I think some after the post, you also put a picture of you either smiling or, just a general picture. Do you get like a lot of I think you also made a post about what I'm saying, which is a lot of people tell you that this is not Instagram or something like that. Just wanted to know your thoughts, how do you do you get comments where don't post your pictures of like that like on LinkedIn, or has that, do you think that's become like normalized and all that?
No, I get them sometimes, but if I count so far, I might have gotten 15 comments in all of the posts that I made. But yeah, it's important because LinkedIn is pushing picture-based content, so why not? There's nothing bad in being credible, showing your face. At least it's better than those Facebook profiles that had a cat picture. So I don't mind. Even if people comment say something, I don't mind. And yeah, there are a lot of things that are happening on all of these professional platforms which are not professional. So putting a good, decent picture out there is not wrong, I feel. It and from the technical aspect, it improves your reach. So yeah, I did A/B testing and then only I'm saying this.
Understood. I think one more tweet. Sorry, I have a few of these. I think, but this is the last one, I think. I remember. So this is, I'm quoting you. I remember when I started YouTube and quit in between. It is the worst regret I have so far,
It's a
not being
LinkedIn.
consistent. It's a LinkedIn. I'm so sorry. Because of my dark background that I have, it's very difficult for me to, and since I've screenshotted it, I have no idea if I'm reading it as a tweet or if I'm reading it from a LinkedIn post because both the background is black. What kind of work did you want to do in YouTube though? And
So I started with book reviews, but I stopped midway. I used to get like good reviews, 1,000+. Then I deleted my channel. So yeah, I wanted to basically focus on the productivity book side of things.
You had also released one YouTube video, which is 21 lessons I've learned in 21 years. I think you released it last year, if I'm not wrong. I think in May 21,
On my 21st birthday.
21st birthday. I think it's been over a year since you released that video. Is there something else that you've learned in the intervening time that you have? The 22nd lesson. Have you learned your 22nd lesson yet, or you still, not sure?
Yeah, I've learned my 22nd lesson, and it is don't give a lot of lessons out loud. Keep them for yourself because experience only teaches you. You can't be very loud about things, and people would just take as much as they feel is good for them. So I feel being advising is not a good thing to do unless and until people come and ask for it.
But why do you think that though? I mean,
I feel if the advice is easily available, it becomes less valuable. And there's a lot of advice available at this point, but still people are not changing. So change happens from the internal, it happens internally and not externally. So that is one thing that I realized.
Want to talk a little bit about so how do you structure your work? Like, I mean, how, like, just on the work-life balance stuff, like, how much do you work? Does it get stressful for you in general? And like, how do you cope if so?
I don't like this notion of work-life balance because it means that your work life is so irritating that you need a bifurcation in that, which should happen ideally, but it should not be very loud now. Nah? I feel I work when I feel like working. I work for 4 hours every day, focused work. But beyond that, it depends on the requirements. I'm not a person who would want to live a very defined life every day, apart from the basic things. So I get time off when I want time off. That is more of how I like it, rather than just saying or telling myself these are Saturdays and Sundays and I'll only take off. And for any agency, a business person or a freelancer, you would know that they don't ever have a very defined schedule. Like they can't say all my 3 months are going to be, like the past 3 months. So it's very it's not that predictable. I set up my calendar a day before and then navigate with that instead of doing it for a week, a month, because then I feel I'm not optimized for my progress if something else comes up and it feels demotivating if you're setting up a lot of things and unable to do them. So goals are fine. I have broad goals, quarterly, yearly, but nothing very rigid in terms of setting up my day. I like it to be very flexible.
Do you like work out every day, or like is that also like once in a while?
Yeah, so I do yoga like 2-3 days in a week because I have a back problem. I have a slipped disc.
Understood. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I thought I lost you there. Because, yeah, all right. I actually did try yoga. I tried yoga a little bit. I think I went for a class, but it was at 6:30 actually. So then I dropped it. I couldn't wake up so early. But hopefully someday I will do yoga.
So I really like how you know, in every I feel that improving is important, getting there, eating clean, and being all healthy and fit is important. But this is not something primarily which you require to start at least. Don't burden yourself initially that I have to be perfect. I've wasted 1 year of my life, 6 months I would say, in becoming perfect, doing everything in time, because then you also get demotivated. So pick up one thing which you can leverage well, change that first, then move on to the other. Otherwise you'll not move at all, because then all of the things you can't change at once. So maybe one thing at a time works fine for me.
Like I mean, if somebody has two, three, like if somebody has financial problems, health problems, and I don't know, girlfriend problems all at the same time, you would want them to focus maybe first on the girlfriend problem. I mean, I don't know, health problem, and then maybe
if
the girlfriend
you,
problem.
If you want to fix everything at once, it will come down falling. That's what I have seen. Because if you were very good, the problems wouldn't even arise in the first place. Like all the problems at once. I'm not talking about health and, you know, see, a person who is very wise, who wants to keep their life very peaceful, would always make decisions on everyday basis that would make it easier. So it would not become a huge problem for them in the first place. So if all of the problems are coming down on you at once, you are not capable of handling everything at once. Just understand, accept, and take one thing at a time. Very simple and sweet. Prioritize. That's what is important.
Understood. Would you consider yourself to be a philosophical person?
No, I'm not. I don't want to be a philosophical person, because I've been a philosophical person, and philosophical people enjoy the philosophy so much that they would let their actions be based on the philosophy and not on the reality, you know. So it's always better. But for now I feel I can be philosophical at, you know, some point in my life back again, but at this point I feel it's more important to be realistic, make real changes, than to be philosophical, because philosophy helps you move a lot in your head, but nothing moves in reality.
Understood. So that's a good
it's
quote
good
right
to,
there. I think
you know.
I think that can be your next Twitter. Yeah.
Right now, though, I won't tweet, but I'll keep it, because I am playing with the algorithm right now.
Right. Maybe when the time is right, you can tweet that out. Understood. How much time do you spend on social media every day?
I am on social media like most of the time, because it's my job, not on my profile and on my client's profile. So yeah, pretty much a lot of time. I am mostly on LinkedIn, then Twitter, then Instagram, then YouTube. Yeah.
Were you on TikTok?
Like the order. No, I was not on TikTok.
Okay, fair enough.
But I helped a TikTok account go from 0 to 75,000 followers in 3 months.
When it was not banned, is it? Or when it was active?
And I did it out of fun. I was in my first year of college, and it was very fun for me. So I really liked to, and I wanted to understand the algorithm. So I was just, you know, understanding how it works and things like that.
No, but what do you mean when you say you... What did you do?
I understood the tags, I understood how what sound would do better. I researched a lot, and then I would tell them ki this sound might work better to what you know you're trying to put out. So yeah. So 75,000 was huge because I had no idea of social media till then. How the marketing things happen. Now TikTok is huge. Like in US, and you know, they're bringing out courses, they're charging a hell lot of money to provide services for TikTok in the US.
Yeah. But I think you can use the, I think similar strategies can be used for this Reels, I think, no? I think they operate on a, I feel Reels is very shitty compared to TikTok. I think similar strategies can be used, no? What do you say?
Yeah, I think both of them are very much similar, but still I'm not on, I feel that Reels also, there has to be a trending sound if you're wanting to get more views. And I also helped my sister reach 70,000 followers on Instagram. She's on Instagram. Reels helped her a lot. Trending sounds and hashtags and you know things like that.
You're not into creating reels and all, like I mean, like lip syncing,
yeah,
dancing.
Yeah, I don't get time. Right? No, not that, of course. So I'm not at that at this point. Yeah.
Okay. What do you do for like when you're not like, when you're not like working? Like, what do you do to unwind?
I watch a lot of movies on Netflix. Yeah, that's what I love food, so I go out to eat. Food is my, I think, a guilty pleasure because, yeah, that's something that I would want after a very hectic day. So that's something that I do. I eat and I watch something.
Understood. I think on that note, Shubhangi, thank you so much for taking the time. It was wonderful having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.